Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Tell you what, that was a song that'll go along with the Thanksgiving thought today. I want you to go to one of the most, well-known places in the Bible about Thanksgiving, and that's the 100th Psalm. Would you go there with me? I was thinking about it. I was not raised in church. I didn't get saved, become a Christian until I was 22 years old. But the first time I ever heard this psalm was in public school, and we memorized it. Can you imagine that now? Back in those days, we had the Bible in school. Today, we got policemen in school. You take out one and get the other in many cases. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Boy, that's a nice thought. Not out of duty or fear even, but with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. No evolution there. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Yes, it's Thanksgiving week, and it's a good thing, I think, that we turn our thoughts sometimes to being thankful. With all the turmoil and all that, somebody said, I'm thankful the election's over. Well, everywhere but South Florida. I understand they're finding some old Al Gore votes down there still. I'm being facetious. They'll have to manufacture anything down there, I'll tell you the truth. But with all that said, we got a lot to be thankful for, haven't we? Man, we really have. And I think about this. You know, it's good to recognize the day. Now, I know it's being perverted in a lot of places, and it breaks my heart. I saw some stuff on the news this week where they're going back and changing the history book to make it say what they want it to say instead of what the truth was. That's amazing, isn't it? But they're doing that. I saw here several years back where they were teaching in school that when the pilgrims had their first Thanksgiving Day, they didn't do so to thank God, but to thank the Indians. Then I saw another place where it said they stole their stuff from the Indians. Folks, you didn't learn that. This is new perversions that's coming on. This is a bunch of, with an agenda against the things of God, amen? And I hate to hear that stuff. This idea of Thanksgiving is something we ought to look back on and thank God that the pilgrims, in spite of all the hardships, said, let's look on the other hand and see what God's done for us. So they come in and they brought all their bounty in to show what God had done. In other words, they emphasized what God had been good to them in spite of all their troubles and the cold and the heartache and some deaths and all that. They saw the thorn bush with roses on it instead of the rose bush with thorns on it. You know, you can take by choice which side of the street you want to look at, whether you want to be thankful or not, amen? I think about America now, and I think it'd help us a lot if we could start counting our blessings again. Amen. Instead of just belly aching about all the stuff that is wrong, and there's plenty wrong, no doubt about it. I'm not saying you ought to be a Pollyanna and just see nothing but the good, but I am saying that sometimes we get so hung up on the bad, we forget to thank God for the good. I'm high on America. I saw where the president got in trouble because he was saying he was a nationalist. I'm a nationalist. I believe my nation's there. I ought to be for it first. Amen. And what he was saying, he was comparing that. He was saying, I'm a nationalist compared to not being a globalist. But you see, when he got in there, he rocked the boat because they wanted him to be a globalist. They wanted him to help him bring in the one world government and all that business. I thank God that they do criticize him for some of that stuff. I want to say that being unthankful, though, is a sign of a nation's downfall. Romans chapter 1 over there, where it talks about a nation's going back into heathenism, it talks about the sex perversion and all that rest of it, but it also says neither were they thankful. And when you lose the fact that you can be thankful for the air you breathe, the heart that beats under God's permission, I mean, when you think about all God has done, we need to be thankful. We really, really do. And we need to be thankful as a nation. We need to be loyal to our nation. I think about our first president, George Washington. And at the time of Valley Forge and all the hardship of the Revolutionary War, he gave orders one night. He said, only put Americans on guard tonight. Now, here's what he meant. I want somebody loyal to our nation. You say, who else could they have put on? Listen, they had career soldiers come in. They had mercenaries come in. And many of them did help us. But George Washington was saying, I want somebody that loves the country. I want somebody I can trust 100%. And we still need that kind of crowd brought to the front today. Amen? It's a sad truth today, but we're seeing treachery, I fear, in high places. Too much of the time. I don't want to get off on that this morning. I'm just saying that we got a lot to be thankful for, and a lack of thankfulness is a big part of our trouble today. I think about Tiffany singing there. She was singing about ordinary things we ought to be thankful for. Some of you ladies, listen to me. You say, well, I hate doing these dishes. Well, be thankful you got dishes. Be thankful you had some food to put in them to make them dirty. Amen. I mean, sometimes the very things that we just seem to call drudgery, and I got to do it again and do it again. I got to tie these shoes again. Well, bless God, are you thankful you got shoes? I mean, get right down to the nitty gritty. There's so much we have to be thankful for that we take for granted and believe we have a right to and all that. I understand man is unthankful by nature. That's natural for all of us. Was it to be unthankful? You know, some things come naturally. You don't have to teach. For instance, do you have to teach a duck to swim? Anybody ever raise any ducks? Did you have a swimming class for them? Now, I'm joking at you some, but what I'm saying is some things come naturally. But let me also say, if you had some babies, there's some things you need to teach them. I'll tell you what you didn't have to teach them. You didn't have to teach them to tell a lie. You say, my kid wouldn't lie. Who in the world are you kidding? You're not kidding anybody. The sons of Adam and Eve, brother, they still do it. Amen. I tell you what you do have to teach kids. You have to teach them to be thankful. You have to teach them to share. That's right. We have to go against this old nature to do right. I mean, it's just really, really easy. I mean, you say a baby wouldn't tell a lie. How many mothers have ever heard one crying when you picked him up, he stopped? Wasn't nothing wrong with him. Wasn't hurting. He just wanted you to pick him up. Amen and amen. That's our nature. It's our nature to be covetous. Did you know that? Greed runs deep. We got to watch out for it. I think about the two little boys that's riding a little tricycle, little toddlers on the tricycle. One of them was overheard to say, if one of us would get off this thing, I could ride it better. That's nature. That's natural. But the truth is, we are unthankful by nature. We have to work at it. You've heard me tell this before, but it impressed me. The mother was with a little girl in the department store, and the manager was kind of, you know, being nice to the lady, and she was a customer. So he reached over and he got a handful of hard candy, and he gave it to the little girl, and she took it, and she just kind of stood there swaying like they do. The mother said, what do you say to the man? And she's just swaying. And she said, what do you say to the man? So she looked up at the man. She said, charge it. Now, that's human nature. You know, we have to teach someone to be thankful in a sense. We have to teach ourselves. We have to teach our kids. There's no doubt about it. Let me say this. How do you have a thankful heart? Well, by an attitude that we have. I can look on the good side. I can look on the bad side. I can try to see the good. I can try to see the bad. Both are there. And there's a time you ought to see the bad and stand against the bad, but don't forget the good while you're still fighting the bad. Amen. How to have a thankful heart. We ought to be thankful for the things that God has given us. Most children, including myself, we took for granted that we had loving parents. We never knew what they sacrificed. We never knew what it cost them many times to take care of us. Now, many of us in this building were born what the world would call poor today. There's a real sense we may have been treated better being born into that than we were in some other circumstances. I know this. I know now what it is to be a parent. I know what it is now to look back and think what Dad and Mom must have done to raise us kids, to keep clothes on us and food on the table. And those basic things, I recognize I'm thankful for them now. I think back and thank God Mom and Dad didn't quit. Times were hard. You look at this building up here. This is our college dorm, radio station, this old hotel that we restored. Right behind that is a house that the church owns. That's the house I was raised in from the 6th grade to the 12th grade. Now, feel sorry for me. I want you to. No hot water. No air conditioning. Air conditioning was open the window or close the window. That old house had two families in it. One on the other side lived just like we did. And the truth of the matter is we didn't have much. Now, somebody said I was poor and didn't know it. We were poor and we did know it. Amen? And there is a little difference there. But the truth is, I think about how God blessed during those days and how they worked so hard to take care of us. And I'm glad they didn't quit. Now, in Florida, this is not quite so bad. First few years started off in Georgia. Every little old shack up there, like the one I was born in, somehow or another we got into the modern age by buying linoleum floor covering. Anybody know what linoleum is? Some hands going up. Have you ever had the experience of getting out of bed when frost was outside and putting your feet on that cold linoleum? Somebody said Jesus walked on water. I walked on air. All joking aside, that's how cold it was. And there's some things you hurt by. Now, at the same time, not only did you walk on the cold linoleum, but you may have had to go out to the well and pull a bucket of water up, and there might have been a little ice on the water when you dropped the bucket in. I'm saying, but you know what? We didn't quit. We didn't whine. We got the job done. Thank God for parents that stuck it out under those kind of conditions and got the job done. I think back, and I thank God for those days. And now we take cool for granted. We spent several thousand dollars in the last week or two on air conditioning in this building, just so some of y'all could complain you were too cold. Right. Yeah, we did. And you know what? We can go to one of these thermostats and we can turn on the heat. We can get it just right. We can get on the cool, get it just right. Get it just right for some of us. Some of you will never be satisfied. But anyway. Anyway, the truth is that we do it by a push button now. Used to be cutting wood and building a fire or doing something else, you know. So, listen, we ought to be thankful for our blessings. I mean, the little things that we take for granted, and yet God has been so good to us in that. We have so much, and yet when you turn on the TV and watch the rest of the world, see starving kids, we don't like to look at them. We know that the poor is abused and used today, and a lot of the funds raised for them don't get to them. I understand all that. But it is true the whole rest of the world is hurting. And as you complain about America, remember it is the other world trying to get in our borders. We're not trying to get into their borders. Now, there is political forces in this world today that would like to make us equal with the crowd that's trying to get in our borders. You know, it's... It is ridiculous, but socialism wants to make us all equal except the high guys at the top and eliminate the middle class and bring us all down to the level where there is no middle class, so to speak. And if we don't fight that thing, it'll come. We need to be thankful enough to America to not only contend for the faith in Jesus Christ, but contend for the Constitution our forefathers gave us that gives us the freedom. It's our freedom that produced our wealth. It's our freedom to own property, to make decisions, to have the free enterprise spirit that we have in America. Don't sell that short. You look all around the world, communism don't work, socialism don't work. Freedom is what gave us what we have today, and we better be thankful for it. Thankful for our nation that's still free. It won't be. I've said it before, I say it again this morning. Somebody's well coined the phrase, all that is necessary to lose our freedom is for good men to do nothing. Not bad men do wrong, they're gonna do that. But good men just sit by in apathy and do nothing. That's the curse of our nation today. A prodigal of our freedom is what we have today. Yes, we have a right to keep our borders closed and be a nation and not be overrun by that is wrong. My heart goes out to see some of those families there. But listen, we cannot just tear the borders down, or you'll not have the America to raise your kids in that we were raised in. Amen. Sell out on security. I know after 9/11 we all griped, and we still do. I still get aggravating going through the security line at the airport. But I realize it's a necessity. We have to do that. But all it's gonna take for us to lose our security is to just quit being Americans and realizing we do have a right to put America first. We do have a right to be a nationalist. We are not commanded in the Word of God to go out and be a globalist and bring in the whole world on the compromise that they want us to. No, we ought to stand for what's right. I say to soul winners and others, you don't get in the hog pen with the sinner. You stay on solid ground to pull the sinner out of the hog pen. And our nation needs to stay on solid ground if we're going to pull others up to our level, instead of mixing it all in and saying there is no difference. There is a difference. It's a difference in our freedoms, and a difference in our Constitution, and a difference in the God that we serve. Amen. And I'll go further, and the flag that we honor. I tell you, there's something fishy about the crowd coming to our borders waving their flags. If they're proud of their flags, they ought to turn around and go home. It seems something wrong there. There's a contradiction there somewhere. It certainly is. And we ought to take our stand on it. I want to say this. As we move to this Thanksgiving season, let's stop and be thankful. The word thankful actually comes from the word, as Old English word, think. Thankful. 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 Think about what you got. Count your blessings. Think about it. Thankful. And I say to you that we ought to be thankful. We ought to practice being thankful. We ought to be thankful for what we do have instead of worrying so much about what we don't have. And we're all guilty of that. We ought to be very thankful that God has blessed us over and above, certainly over and above what we deserve. Amen. Let me say this. Practicing being thankful for God's grace. Except by the grace of God, there go I, somebody said. Except by the grace of God, you could have been born in another country under another government with no freedom at all and not under the gospel. You ever think about that? God says, there's more required of us. He says, unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. I know the truth. I have the truth. By the grace of God, I've been saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. But now my responsibility is to pass that on. Amen. The best that I can. And to be thankful, yes, I am. I'm thankful one day, as a lost sinner boy, I walked in the back of a church and heard a preacher sharing the gospel. I didn't understand grace. I told the young people the other night, I thought that when I died, I knew I was a God. I wasn't a fool enough to not believe there was a God. But I remember thinking that when I stand before God, my bad works will be here. My good works will be here. Whichever stack is the highest, that's the way I'll go. And that's a false lie of the devil. Because even a little stack of your sin can't get into heaven. It's got to be paid for. Every sin's got to be paid for. And when the preacher explained the grace of God, and I heard him preach the gospel, that God paid the price. That the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God was eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he went to the cross and he paid the price and he offered me salvation as a gift because he'd already paid for it. Man, grace was the best news I ever heard in my life. When I heard the preacher say, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves, I didn't quite understand it, but I did understand I didn't deserve it. And then he paid for it that I could have what I didn't deserve, because he paid for it. Wow. That's the best news I've ever heard. That's the best news you'll ever hear. You understand the grace of God? No, you don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. But Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner and paid the price that I could go in free. I'm thankful for God's grace. As a church today, we ought to be thankful that in America we have the freedom to still assemble as we do this morning. And a preacher still has the freedom to declare, thus saith the Lord. That's something to be thankful for this season. There's a big force out there that'd like to take that away. I guarantee you the fight is on to stop us from doing just what I'm doing this morning. To have this radio station that goes out on free. I mean free to anybody that wants to listen. And you'd be surprised, Landmark Church members, how many folks listen to us that never move into this building. And I get reports here and there, and thank God every now and then hear about somebody getting saved because they heard the gospel. Right out of the air, God's miracle. Wonderful, wonderful truth. That's true. I'm thankful. As for the church, you're hearing a lot of attack today on the church. It's irrelevant. Organized religion. I don't want no part of that. Well, I tell you what, you're disagreeing with Jesus. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus, the Bible says, Paul said, Ephesians 5, that he loved the church and gave himself for it. So if you got a better idea than Jesus, you may be just a little bit too smart. His idea was to start the church and leave the church, and the church has a mission. And no matter the critics you hear about, the church is still getting the job done. Amen. It still is. Let me give you a stat, and this is an old one. I think I can come pretty close to telling you what I want to say here. Do you know that on a whole ball season, baseball team, football team, whole ball season, all of it, when you see on TV and you see those stands full of people in a season, there's only 54 million people that attend those ball games, all of them, all season long, 54 million. But in one Sunday, 85 million attend a house of God in America. Think on it now, 54 million for the whole ball season, 85 million on any given Sunday. Don't let them tell you God's plan's not working. It is working. Don't let them tell you the church is irrelevant. No, it's not. And I know that would probably be a big loop of all kind of churches, but I'm talking about churches that would be called Christian churches. That's what the stat is. And the truth of the matter is, God's plan is still working. The church is still what he blessed. And in Ephesians 3:21, he says that he's going to receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Till he gets through with the church is not through. He's got a job for it to do. Let's do our best here. And what's our plan here at Landmark? Tell about the grace of God. Tell folks how thankful we are that Jesus loved us and died for us. And all the principles and all the commands that he gave us, we want to obey them as best we can. But we know that he is one day going to receive glory in his church. The world wants you to think we're defeated. We're not. The devil knows we're not. But he's conned a lot of folks into thinking we're losers. But we're winners. We're winners. And the truth is today, sometimes we Christians don't act like winners. We act like losers. But we are winners. One day the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to walk down Hallelujah Square. Brother, walk down the streets of glory with the flags of Christ flying because we're victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Amen. That's what we have. A lot to be thankful for as we think about this season. If you're saved this morning, you sure got a lot to be thankful for. And I'd ask you to look back in your memory and remember when you were not. I sure remember when I was not saved. And I am sure thankful that I can stand today and tell you I'm saved not because I'm good, but because Jesus was good. Not because I've loved others and done a lot of good things. No, Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner. Oh yeah, when I received him, I received my free ticket, my gift of eternal life, my free entrance into heaven. Man, I'm thankful for that. I want to say to you, if you're here today and you're not saved and you know you're not, I want to tell you something you ought to be thankful for. You ought to be thankful you're still alive and have a chance to get saved. Amen. If you're breathing God's good air today, you ought to be thankful for it. If you haven't died yet, listen, all it's going to take is that heart stop and your chance is over. What you're going to do with Jesus, you got to do now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the time. Now is the time. You're breathing now. You got a clear mind now. You can hear, you can understand, you make a choice. Have you made a choice to receive Christ? Quit trusting yourself, hoping you're going to get better tomorrow or next year. Trust him and trust him now. Do you know one of the great sins we don't think about today? We name a lot of sins, but one of the greatest, if not the greatest in the eyes of God, is rejecting his son. You read over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews how it's trampling the blood underfoot. The blood, precious blood, Jesus shed on the cross. When you leave this building unsaved, you're saying to the Lord, I'm walking out over the blood of your son that was shed to save my soul. That's an awful thing. That's God's rejection. Rejection's tough in this life. We know what it is. Sometime a kid rejects their parents. I've said to some parents, I know how bad it hurts. If they had died, it would hurt no worse. Because had they died, they would have had no choice in dying. They had to die. But to reject you while they're alive, that hurts even deeper, because that is a choice. There is a choice there. You have a choice concerning Jesus. It hurts when rejection takes place. I'm sure you know the story, and I think it really happened. Little girl had gotten to be in her teens. You know, that's when teenagers are reaching their pride. They want to be accepted. They want to be big in front of their friends and all of that. We've all been through that. I've seen kids that was ashamed of their parents, maybe ashamed of their background or something else. Kids don't ever fall into that devil's trap, but I've seen it. But I think about the little girl. She'd got to that age of pride. All her life, she'd never seen her mother's face. A mother worked hard and took care of her, but her mother always wore a veil over her face. The little girl had never been told the truth about it. And one day her mother was coming out of the post office door as her daughter and a few of her girlfriends was coming in. And a gust of wind came by as the mother was walking out of the post office, and the veil flew up, and oh, it was a horrible looking scene under that veil. A scarred up, awful face. And the friends of the little girl said, oh, look at that woman, look at that, oh, how ugly that is. And the little girl, knowing it was her mother, and was shocked herself, but she pretended not to know who her mother was, right in front of her mother. Of course, that broke the mother's heart. Later that night, the mother came to her bedroom and said, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something that you don't know. I need to tell you something. She said, what you saw today was my scarred up face. It was scarred by fire. It was burned. Because when you were just a little baby, the house caught on fire. And I ran and got you, and covered you in a blanket and took you out. But in so, I got burned awful bad. That's why my face looks like this. I want to say to you, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, one day God's going to pull a veil back and let you see the price he paid to let you go to heaven instead of hell. Amen. I say to you, understand now, he loved you while you were yet a sinner, paid a price I can't describe, that you could have your sins forgiven and go to heaven. Will you accept that gift from him? Will you trust him that he paid a price you couldn't pay, paying for your sins? Will you trust him instead of your church membership, your baptism, or your good deeds, or anything else you can list? The Bible says, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of him. He paid an awful price. Be thankful for it and let him be your Savior. And if he is your Savior, be thankful to him that he is, and serve him and live for him. Be a testimony for him. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Father, there's some folks here, many, many people here that know what I was talking about. Many people here that are thankful for Jesus as their Savior. They're going to heaven because of him, and they know no other reason but that is going to get them in. But Father, there's some here that have rejected him. They're still rejecting him. They may come to church occasionally. They may hear the story. They may know they should, but they're not yet received Christ. They still reject him. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation this morning. I pray not one to leave the building unsaved. And I pray you'd help us, Father, as your people, as believers today, to not just let it be another Thanksgiving week, but to really look past the good food and other things and look to Jesus, the one that deserves our thanks above anything else. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me here? Maybe you need to come for prayer. Maybe you need to come join the church. We open the church doors. However we can receive you. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it. You come as we sing. Just I.